तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपाधरामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतः प्रथमं श्रीगुरुवैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सार्वजातं सहजानरूपान्तं सजीवम् सावेदं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादशीलशाखामृतं च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जयप्रदे गोपेश गोपिका कान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोऽस्तु ते रक्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी कृष्णवादुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छापत्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुगणेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
I'd like to thank everyone for coming here on this Sunday, and we thank Ramchandra Prabhu for giving me this opportunity to speak. This last 6 weeks or so, we've celebrated two extremely important festivals in our tradition. Just about 10 days ago was Sri Gopurnim, and then a few weeks before that was Nityananda Chodashi. So today I thought I'd speak a little about Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. We see this Panchatattva Mahamantra that we just all recited. It says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always accompanied by his plenary expansion, Sri Nityananda Prabhu. His incarnation, Sri Advaita Prabhu, his eternal potency, Sri Gadadhar Prabhu, and his marginal potency, Shivas Prabhu. He is in the midst of them as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, we're very fortunate here that we have Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Nityananda Prabhu giving us their darshan every day. And the rest of the Panchatattva are always there with them, or also right in the picture. Everyone wants to look. So, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And we have this wonderful prayer by Srila Rupa Goswami when you met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namagoya Krishna. O most munificent incarnation, you are Krishna himself appearing as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have assumed the golden color of Srimati Radharani, and you are widely distributing pure love of Krishna. We offer respectful obeisances unto you. So what is this pure love of Krishna that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us? Yes. So we can go to this another wonderful prayer by one of the acharyas in our line, Mochanda Sakura. Paramakarna Paudujana Nitai Gorachanda Sava Avatara Sharashiramani Kevala Anayakanda. The two lords, Nitai Gorachandra, are very merciful. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that they introduce a process of chanting and dancing that is simply joyful. So he tells us this right here. Before we heard that this is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us love of God. And now we see, how is he giving us love of God? By chanting and dancing. It's so simple. So we'll start. Today I'll speak about the holy name. I like to say, it's the weapon of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll start with the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He appeared on the day of a lunar eclipse. Now in India, the lunar eclipse is, does anyone know its significance? It's one of the most inauspicious times possible. Extremely inauspicious. Everyone just goes and shuts themselves inside and doesn't eat and throws everything else out that they cooked and, you know, takes 10 baths afterwards. It's just completely considered contaminated. And yet we have Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, choosing this time to appear. Why? Why did he choose this time? Why didn't he choose an auspicious time when all the planets and stars were aligned on the right tithi? He chose this time because he knew at that time everyone in Mayapur and Navadvip, which is in West Bengal where he appeared, at that time everyone would go to the Ganga, which is the most auspicious river, and they would be chanting the name of the Lord, Hari, everyone, during this eclipse. And it's not just the Hindus. The Hindus were all there chanting Hari, Hari. But it's the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, and those who just worship God for the material enjoyment, even they were chanting Hari. And even more so than that, it's said that the Muslims, they would go to the side of the Ganga and point and laugh at the Hindus and chant Hari, Hari. They were joking and they were trying to make fun of them, and yet they were still chanting Hari, Hari. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, just everyone in Mayapur and Navadvip in the world was chanting Hari. This is very significant to the message that he came to bring us. Whenever Krishna comes to this planet in all his different incarnations, he comes with a very specific weapon. Every time we can see it. Here we can see, we have Lord Ramchandra. And what was his weapon?
Bow and arrow.
Bow and arrow, yes. He destroyed so many Rakshasas. He went with Vishwamitra Muni in the forest and protected him during his fire sacrifices with this bow and arrow. And then he killed Ravana with the same bow and arrow. Who do we have next? We have Krishna. What was Krishna's weapon? Yeah, Sudarshan Chakra. When Shishupal came to the Rajasuya sacrifice and insulted Krishna for how many times? 100 times. He waited patiently till 100th time. And then he called for Sudarshan Chakra and cut his head off. Next we have Lord Varaha. He had his tusks. With his tusks, he saved the planet Earth. Killed Hiranyaksha. Finally, Nrisimhadeva. What did Nrisimhadeva have? His nails. He tore apart Hiranyakashipu. All these are very significant weapons. I mean, would anyone even look at Narsingadev's nails? He'd be frightened beyond belief. And then we have Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what did he bring us? He just brought the holy name. There's nothing physical involved. That was his special weapon. He went through the Jharkhanda forest, which was inhabited by the wildest of animals, and would go up to a sleeping tiger and wake it up. Who would wake up a tiger? And not only that, he didn't have a weapon, he didn't have anything to protect himself. He just told the tiger to chant Hare Krishna. And what did the tiger do? Chanted. Lions, tigers, and bears. What is that school in the nursery? Instead of oh my, he's like, Hare Krishna, chant the name of Krishna. That was his message. That is why he came here to give us. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in all his time, he never wrote anything down except 8 verses. These eight verses are called the Shikshashtakam, and they track the evolution of consciousness that takes place when we chant the holy name. So let's go through the verses of this wonderful prayer. This is the first verse. Chipto darpanam marjanam bhava mahadhanam yugyavahanam Shreya kaya vachandrika vitaranam vidyavada jivana Anandam buddhivardhanam patipadam purnam mritaswadhanam Sarvatma snapanam param vijayate Shri Krishna sankirtanam. Glory to the Shri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. He's telling us here that our mind is like a mirror. It's such a, you know, it can get so dirty and it's covered by all these layers of dust and pollution. Srila Prabhupada explains that the Maha Mantra, chanting the Maha Mantra in the process of Krishna consciousness is not artificial. It's not an artificial imposition of the mind. It's our natural state of being, which is lying dormant within us. And we must find a way to awaken it. And the way to do that is to chant this holy name. So what does following this process and chanting the name of Krishna do? It helps us clean that mirror. It helps us cleanse the heart of all the dust which has been accumulating, which is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying in this prayer. And why is this? Because Krishna and his name are non-different. It's such a wonderful realization that we have Krishna here, but just by saying Krishna's name, he can always be with us, and it's non-different. The potency is the exact same. It's just a wonderful gift that we have. So then, Anandam Buddhivardhanam Patipada Purnam Ritaswadhanam. This is the prime benediction for humanity at large, because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. We realize that the happiness that we are seeking and what it is to experience Krishna's love. And when that love awakens within us, the holy name is like the rays of this benediction moon. It's the direct mercy of Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving it to us. So, if we move to the next verse. Nam namakai bhavudha nija sarva saktis tatra pita niyamita svanane lakana etad vishita vakipa bhagavan mamapi durdai vamidrishani hajami namura. O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings. And thus you have hundreds and millions of names, like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names, you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. O my Lord, out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names. But I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. So he's starting this verse by telling us your holy name alone can render all benedictions to living beings. How powerful is this holy name? He gave all benediction to human beings. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told us just simply by chanting Krishna's names, we can fully realize him in his pastimes in the spiritual world. And then we hear that he has hundreds and millions of names. Krishna and Govinda are just two, but there's hundreds of millions. And all of the energies are invested in these holy names. Excuse me. Then, This is my favorite part of the verse. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these things. How powerful is this? There is no rules for chanting the Maha Mantra. When we do deity worship, there's such a strict standard, especially here at the temple. Every day, there's four or five offerings done at the same exact time. And the aartis are done at the same exact time. And to just be, to be able to do the worship, we have to be qualified. And then we have to maintain a standard of cleanliness. And then we have to, you know, make sure we have all the right paraphernalia, say all the right mantras, and say everything. And yet, Mahaprabhu is telling us, you have all the energies are in these names, and there's no rules for chanting them. It's so easy. You can say these names anywhere. There's the wonderful example of Ajamil. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ajamil was a wonderful Brahmin, but somehow he lost his way. And yet, at the time of death, what did he remember?
Narayan.
He remembered Narayan. Now, who was he remembering?
Krishna.
He wasn't remembering Krishna. He was just remembering his son, just like anyone would do. You call out to a loved one, especially your children. And yet he just said, Narayan, Narayan. And for that, all the energies of Krishna and his name were so powerful that he was liberated. The Yamadutas came to take him, and they said, no, you can't take him. He said the name of Vishnu. He said, Narayan, you cannot take him. And they pulled out a scroll that was, I mean, and today we record data in terabytes, and I don't know what's next, and who knows how much hard drive space it would have taken that the Yamadutas had a record on Ajamil. They had a rock-solid case to take to Yamaraj. And yet, just by saying the name of Narayan once, at the end of his life, they threw it all out. It was inadmissible. Just say, in legal speak. This is how powerful these names are. And then, at the end of this verse, O my Lord, out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. This is the attitude or spirit in which we should chant in. That the Lord is so kind and so merciful to give us this wonderful gift, yet we're not qualified for it. But we should still chant anyway. Next verse.
Janalapi sunichena taronapi sahishuna amanina amanavena kirtanena sadhari.
One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, taking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. This is the essence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya after taking initiation from Ishwar Puri, he and the devotees were doing kirtan all day. All the time, all day. This sunrise to sunset, they would just be doing kirtan, chanting the holy name. And at one point he said, what is the use of sleeping? Why don't we just chant all day and all night? And everyone said, okay. So now if someone came up to you and said, what is the use of this sleeping thing? Just chant. What would your reaction be? The only way to be able to do that is by following the instructions given to us in this verse. Extremely difficult to do, but he's telling us, he's giving us the GPS navigation system right here, how to do that. We can chant the name constantly by doing these things.
Thank you.
So what are these things? In a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. Here we have a wonderful picture of a lot of grass. And grass is wonderful, especially in the summer. For us at least. We sit down on it, we lie down on it, we play sports on it, we mow it, cut it up with sharp razor blades, and we look at it and say, oh, it's so nice and green. And yet, from the grass's perspective, where is the grass? The grass is just getting trampled on all the time by us. But it's still staying nice and soft. It's still trying to serve us. It sits out in the sun all day. What can it do? It just has to do that. More tolerant than a tree. So here we have this wonderful tree, which happens to be right here, the temple. If anyone has never gone out and appreciated this tree, it's actually extremely beautiful. It must be hundreds of years old, and it's majestic. It's right over on the corner by the hill, gigantic. I'm sure many of us have sat under this tree, under the shade of the tree, taken that, and that's the tree gives us that in the summer. Well, let's start with the winter. We just went through extremely cold winter, and we were all mostly inside in our wonderful heated homes and wearing our sweaters and nice warm socks, and the tree was just there, standing in the wind, in the snow, in the rain yesterday. And regardless of what came at it, it just stood there, and it still continues to stand there. And then now the weather is getting nicer, and sometime it'll be very pleasant, but then the summer will come and the blazing sun will be there. And what will it do? It'll still just stand there in the blazing sun. And not only that, it'll provide us shade from the blazing sun. So it'll stand there and do a service for us while not saying anything. And then back to the winter, if we needed to, we could take wood from the tree to keep us warm. How many things does this tree do? It does not say anything. It's so tolerant. And that is the spirit. And that is one of the qualities that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was telling us. You have to be more tolerant than a tree. How is this possible? Should we go stand outside for a whole winter and just stand there and chant? It's not an easy thing to do. And then devoid of all sense of false prestige and ready to offer all respects to others. We must humble ourselves and chant the name in that state of mind. And all we can do is try to strive for these principles given to us in this verse. And we'll see that chanting of the Maha Mantra will become easier and more natural. And in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, they chanted constantly, all day and all night. They would never stop chanting for 1 year. Just chant. And it's because of this, they would follow these principles. Now we'll go on to the next verse. Nadanam najanam na sundarim kavitam vajagrisha kame mama janmani janmani shore bhavatar bhakti rahim ake. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your cause's devotional service, birth after birth. Here we are given the attitude and the identity with what we should strive for. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is contradicting the entire material psychology here. It's creating a revolution here, to think about it. You know, he was here a little over 500 years ago, and people think that the material, the world as it was extremely different, but it wasn't. It was the exact same. They didn't have cell phones or fancy projectors, but the way of life for people was the same. Everyone lived to make money and to enjoy, use that money to enjoy their senses. And yet, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells us here, I have no desire to accumulate wealth. That's the attitude with which we should approach the holy name. I don't want wealth. I'm not chanting so you give me money in my bank account. Nor do I desire beautiful women or any number of followers. I don't want to become famous. I don't want to do this just to enjoy my senses. All I want is the opportunity to serve birth after birth. The attitude we must take from this is we chant, but we should not expect anything from that chanting. What did John F. Kennedy say? Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. That is the same spirit here. We should just be chanting. It's a very selfless mood to chant this holy name. Go on to the next verse. Ainanda tinuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavam buddha kripaya tapapada pankaja sita dhuri shadvisham vichintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, I am your eternal servant here. Yet somehow or other, I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. He's asking to be placed as an atom, Krishna's word, lotus feet. This shows he truly understands who Krishna is. Krishna is, everything about Krishna is unlimited. So, to ask to be just a tiny speck of dust or an atom of his lotus feet, how great is that? He's unlimited in all ways, in all qualities. He's not asking for liberation, saying this is even greater than asking for liberation, just to be placed there and given the opportunity to do service by chanting this holy name. That's the mood to take here. Nainam galadashudharya vadanam gadagada gadayagya bulakir nichitam bapukada tavanam gaini vavishyati. O my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up? And when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your holy name? So just the wonderful symptoms. When will I be able to chant sincerely enough that I'll be moved by chanting your holy name? Such a humble position to take. He's not, you know, going inside a very cold room and saying, I have goosebumps. So now my chanting must be perfect. Or somehow your eyes are watering when you're chanting. No, these are natural symptoms. And if we're fortunate enough to have these symptoms, do we go, you know, take a selfie and put it on Facebook? Today I was chanting and the hairs of my body stood on end. No, it just means that we have to become even more sincere. More sincere and more humble, as we were told earlier. But that is how powerful this holy name is, that just by reciting it, just by saying Krishna, that the hairs of your body can stand on end. What other word can say that? If I go say wall, 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 will that happen? I'm looking at the wall is right there, but what potency does the wall have? And yet, this is Krishna's name, so it's non-different than Krishna. The next verse. Yugaitam Nimeshena, Chakshusha Pravashaitam, Sunyaitam Jagat Sarvam, Govinda Niranjana. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. When he says, Yugaitam Nimeshena, Nimesh is actually a defined period of time. Does anyone know what it is? It's the time that it takes the top of your eye to touch the bottom of your eye when you're not doing it on purpose. So, a tenth of a second maybe, approximately. And he's saying he's considering that to be like 12 years or more. And actually, that's just a translation. Here he says, a yuga, yugaitam nimesha. He considers one nimesh, this one little blink, to be as long as a yuga. How long is that? It's thousands of years. And just in that time, without Krishna. Without the presence of you, my Lord, the entire creation, the material world, it just feels like a void. And it shows us that without Krishna at the center of our lives, what is the purpose of our lives? We are here to serve Krishna. That is our constitutional position. Krishna consciousness is within all our hearts, and the holy name is just there to awaken it. And without it, it feels vacant. It's telling us that here. That without it, just the nimesh feels like 12 years or more in the translation. And finally, the last verse. Ashishya vapadaritam pinaskimo ardarshanam mama hatam kurotila yata tata vavidato lumpato natasusariya vaparama. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so. Even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord, unconditionally. Here, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us an insight into the love that Srimati Radharani shares with Krishna. This is so powerful. He says, I know only Krishna is the Lord, and he can treat me however he wants. It makes me brokenhearted by not being there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended that the highest form of worship available in this world is the method practiced by the gopis of Vrindavan. And why is that? The gopis love Krishna without any motivation whatsoever. Their whole existence, their whole purpose in life was they just wanted to serve. Such a humble attitude. He's revealing that mood to us in this verse. He's completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord, unconditionally. So regardless of what happens, I was chanting Hare Krishna the other day, and, the stock market didn't work out for me, so, I'm a free agent now. No, he's always my worshipful Lord, unconditionally. Doesn't matter what he does to me, he's my Lord. This is the mood also that we should aspire for in service. That it's not a quid pro quo relationship. That, we're not trying to make a deal here. Either I'm doing this, so I expect this in return. No, we do it out of the love of our hearts. Because we want to serve Krishna and we want to serve his devotees. It comes out of a genuine spirit. And when you take that mood or the feeling into any service that you do, you get so much more out of it. So these 8 verses are the only 8 verses that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left us personally. And they're so powerful. They show us how important the holy name is and how they progress, how our consciousness progresses as we chant it. And at the end, the progression we must finally take is from just chanting the name. He says there's no hard and fast rules for chanting the name. Just chant Krishna's name, and then finally we'll realize how powerful this name is and come to the understanding ourselves that we don't want to make offenses to this holy name. That's when we can really advance. Even if your chanting is not perfect, there's nothing wrong with it. No. You should still chant the name of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that out of all the processes of devotional service, which one is most important?
Yes.
It's kirtan, kirtanam. And why is that? Because all the other processes contain kirtanam. They all contain chanting. When we're doing deity service, we're saying mantras. We're saying the names of the Lord. When we're hearing, we're hearing the glories of the Lord from someone else. That is how powerful the name of Krishna is. So together, request that we all loudly chant.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And that was nice. But this mantra is so powerful, it's such a special gift. And I couldn't hear anyone. So please, loudly, can we chant the holy names?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
That was a little better. A little better. But what if there's someone up on the third floor of this building? Could they hear us? I don't think so. I think we have to do it one more time. Maybe, you know, 10, 30 times louder. What are we doing? Every piece of energy you have, ask everyone check the name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Thank you very much.
Table.